Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for this hour. Well, this week we're going to do a little secret agenting to start off with Brian Donlevy with the show Dangerous Assignment. This was also a television show at one point. And it's about a mysterious secret agency in post-World War II. So for the next 30 minutes or so, we'll be straightening out the world. And after that, a little bit of comedy to lighten the mood. We're going to do Bright Star, George and the Chorus Girl, it's called. And that's from 1952. That's in about 30 minutes. Right now, Brian Donlevy and Dangerous Assignment.
Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble, but when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize that this assignment's going to wind up with me in a spot where, if I play my cards just right, only one guy will get killed. Me.
Morning, Commissioner.
Steve, welcome back. Your vacation lasts long enough?
Do they ever?
Well, your plane leaves for Japan in 1 hour.
Brother, you just don't waste a minute. Japan. Last time I was there, as I remember, I was shot at, stabbed, and beaten up. In that order.
Well, cheer up, Steve. If you're lucky, this time you'll only get blown up.
Oh, you're a real clown this morning.
Unfortunately, I'm not kidding.
Well, in that case, I better go out and not come back in again.
Ah, Steve, there's no time for foolishness.
What's the deal?
Just what I told you a moment ago.
You mean getting blown up?
Exactly. Steve, as you know, negotiations for a just peace treaty with Japan have dragged on for a long time now.
What's holding them up?
Two different groups who are diametrically opposed to each other. One of them is the same set of interests which seem to be bucking us all over the world. But the other is a small but rabid nationalist sect, actually an organization of fanatics.
And we're right in the middle, huh? Fine. But I still don't see what this has got to do with getting blown up.
Well, Steve, during the last week, three explosions have taken place in Tokyo. Each time a man was killed, and each time that man was connected in some way with the negotiations.
What?
That's right. It looks very much like somebody has chosen a very effective method of sabotaging the negotiations.
Have we any idea which outfit is behind the explosion?
That's what you're going over there to find out. And as of right now, you're racing the clock, Steve.
How so?
In just 3 days, we're playing our trump card at the final conference in Tokyo. We're going to produce a surprise visitor.
Oh?
The very presence of this man in that area will, we hope, go a long way toward restoring the situation and paving the way for a lasting peace in the Orient.
Sounds like a pretty important guy.
He is indeed, and for that reason, his trip to Tokyo and present there must be kept an absolute secret until the time of his surprise appearance at the conference.
I see. Who is he, Commissioner?
His code name for the mission is Mr. Big. As for his real name, here it is on this piece of paper. It's been classified for sight only. Take a look.
Hey.
Yeah. Now you see why it's vital we find out who's responsible for those bombings and stop them in a hurry. Get over to Tokyo, Steve, and go to work on it fast. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Well, I've been handed some rough ones in my time, but never one like this. Fly to Tokyo and find out who's blowing up people. Stop them before our Mr. Big arrives on the scene and incidentally try to keep likewise from happening to me. It's Wednesday when my plane lands in Tokyo and I head for Army Intelligence and Major Ferguson.
Well, looks like we've got a real deal on our hands, Mitchell.
Yeah. As I understand it, Major, the explosions seem to be intended for people who have some connection with the treaty negotiations.
That's right. But unfortunately, the explosions have killed a lot of other people, too. Whatever they're using, it's plenty powerful.
You think they're time bombs?
Oh, definitely not.
How can you be sure?
Well, at the start, we figured they were. But after we switched the times of a couple of meetings at the last moment and the explosion still took place, why, then we knew better.
Mm-hmm. How about the possibility of there being contact bombs?
You mean booby traps?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see how they could be that either. We've also switched the location of meetings at the last minute. That hasn't done any good.
I see. You ever considered the possibility that these might be remote-controlled explosions, Ferguson?
Yes, I have, Mitchell. I know it sounds a little fantastic, but it is a possibility. If that's what we're up against, though, boy, we're really in trouble. Oh, excuse me. Major Ferguson. What? Where? I see, okay.
Trouble?
I'll say another explosion. Come on.
Minutes later, Ferguson and I arrive at the scene. It's a government office building. The explosion apparently took place in an elevator on its way up. Ferguson questions the building guard, and I nose around a little. When he's through, we get together and compare notes.
Three people in the elevator at the time, Mitchell. Not much left of any of them.
Who were they?
Well, a diplomat named Saguchi. He was apparently the target. The other two were a switchboard operator and a messenger who was on his way to an office on the third floor.
I see. Well, that sure knocks this time bomb theory.
Yeah.
How do you know what instant your target's going to be in an elevator?
That's right.
There's no way the bomb could have been dropped from the top of the elevator shaft either. I checked on the roof. There's a radar installation up there, heavily guarded.
And there's another thing. The guard told me the entire building had been searched only yesterday, so I don't see how the explosive could have been hidden anywhere around.
Wait a minute.
What?
I just thought of something. We've established that the bomb couldn't have been dropped from the top of the elevator shaft, but that still leaves the doors on the various floors.
You think somebody could have shoved the bomb into the shaft from one of the doors?
I don't know. That's what I'm going to try and find out right now. I'll check with you later. No soap.
Find out anything, Mitchell?
Just that it's impossible to open any of these doors into the shaft while the elevator is in motion. Uh-huh. So there goes another lead out the window.
Well, cheer up. Maybe one just flew in.
What do you mean?
Remember I told you there were three passengers in the elevator at the time of the explosion?
That's right. Saguchi, a switchboard operator, and a messenger. So what?
Well, the guard at the entrance told me that the messenger signed in to go to an office on the third floor. As a matter of routine, I checked the third floor office. They told me they'd never sent for a messenger.
What?
That's right.
Was this messenger from a regular messenger service?
Seemed to be. He was wearing one of their uniforms.
Let's call the messenger service and check up, huh?
That's my thought, too. Yeah, there's a phone in here, I think. Go ahead.
Thanks. Got their number?
Yeah.
You know something? I hope they did send a messenger over here.
So do I.
Hello?
Oh, hello. This is Major Ferguson, Army Intelligence.
Please.
Did you send a messenger to a third-floor office of the Ogaya building during the last hour?
Oh, no, did not.
Are you sure of that?
Well, yes, sir.
Okay, thanks.
They didn't send him, huh?
No, they didn't send him.
Well, that's just dandy.
Yeah, so that explains how the bomb got into the elevator. A phony messenger carried it in. You know what that means?
Sure, I know what it means. One of two things. Either the bomb went off ahead of schedule...
Or else it went off right on schedule.
Yeah. If so, Ferguson, it means we're up against a pretty highly organized bunch of kamikaze boys.
That's the one thing we didn't figure, Mitchell. Human bombs.
I walk to the window and stand there looking out over Tokyo. Pretty soon, Major Ferguson comes up beside me.
There's a lot of people down there, Mitchell.
Yeah, how many?
About 5 million, I guess.
And we're supposed to reach out into that 5 million and put our finger on a few gents who are walking around with dynamite up their sleeves.
A real breeze, huh?
Yeah. Judging from their past record, they're a pretty highly organized outfit.
I don't doubt that. The worst part of it is we've got to smash them right now before anything happens to Mr. Big.
He's scheduled to arrive this evening, isn't he?
That's right. Oh, were you a little surprised to see who Mr. Big is, Mitchell?
Yeah. And
so was I. I didn't think they'd go up that high. But that's what's going to put the pressure on us in this deal, the time element.
Wait a minute. We don't have any leads at all on this outfit, do we?
We sure don't.
Then instead of going out looking for them, why don't we let them come looking for us?
How?
Well, are there any more meetings or conference scheduled for the near future?
Yes, there's one of them for this afternoon, as a matter of fact. But with the circumstances what they are, maybe we'd better recommend they cancel it.
No, let's not.
But if we... Oh, I think I get it. We let the word out, the conference will be held as scheduled, huh?
That's right. Only we'll tip off the principals not to show up. Instead, you and I will be waiting in the vicinity.
It's a good idea. There's only one thing wrong with it.
Yeah, if it works, we may wind up heroes, dead ones.
Looks like our idea wasn't so hot, Steve. Meeting was scheduled for that building across the street. We've been watching entrance for an hour now.
Yeah, there's no chance anybody could slip in any of the other entrances, is there?
No, they're all locked up tight.
You think these buzz bomb boys would have found out we tipped off the delegates to this meeting not to show up?
I don't see how. We tipped them off personally, so far as anybody else knows, the delegates should be arriving any minute now.
Hold it.
What is it?
Looks like somebody else is arriving.
And that little guy coming on the sidewalk this side of the street?
Yeah. Look at him. Pretty fidgety.
Yeah, he's trying to look in every direction at once. Stop. Look, he's staring at the entrance of the building.
Let's close in real easy.
Right. Think he's our boy?
I don't know.
Look at the way he's sweating, would he?
I'd sweat, too, if I was about to blow myself up.
Keeps making false starts across the street.
Probably trying to get up nerves.
Mm-hmm.
I thought these bonsai boys never hesitated.
Yeah, so did I.
When we grab him easy.
Don't worry. I've got no desire to go up in smoke. This one...
What? Yeah. He sees us.
Starting to run.
Come on.
He ducked into that alley.
Yeah. After him.
Come on, we're gaining on him.
I got him.
Please don't let go.
Pull his coat back first.
All right, come on.
Oh, brother, will you look at that?
Yeah. Dynamite strapped all around
Steve,
him.
Steve, keep his arm steady. He's got a wire leading to one hand.
Yeah, I see it.
Breathe, let go.
Look, Buster, one move out of you and this hammerlock's going to cost you an arm.
Breathe.
Just stand real still.
Yes, all right.
Okay, I've got the wire now, Steve. I don't think he can pull the trigger on us.
What?
How fair them. Better to be dead. How fair them.
Well, what do you know? Lost his nerve, I guess.
Lucky for us.
Okay. Look, bomb boy. Who's backing this operation? Who's your boss?
Oh, I failed him.
I said, who's your boss?
Not know.
Now, look.
Please. Osaki, tell the truth. Not know who Rita is. Meet up tonight, dark room. Please, you must protect me.
Yeah? You'd better spill a lot more before you start talking about protection.
But the only thing I know is the name of one other like myself.
Come on, let's have it.
Name, Toshimoto. Is... only other one I know.
How about his address?
Yes. Give that to you. Toshimoto has been assigned mission for today. We'll be leaving his home soon to go to place where he pick up explosives.
Okay, we better not lose any time.
Please, you must protect me. They kill me because I have failed them.
Don't worry, we'll keep you on ice. We don't want the law to be cheated.
Well, Mitchell, looks like we've got a lead anyway. Toshimoto.
Yeah, look, some of the other bonsai boys may have seen us grab Osaki just now.
Yeah, in that case, we'd better give him a few wrong ideas before we go after Toshimoto.
Just what I was thinking. We'll take Osaki back to headquarters, and then you take off fast in the wrong direction like you're on a hot lead.
Right.
I'll give you a few minutes start, and then I'll head in the other direction to Toshimoto's address, see if I can tail him to their headquarters. We go back to headquarters, and Ferguson takes off. I wait a while, and then head for Toshimoto's house. I stay across the street undercover, and about 20 minutes later, out comes Toshimoto. I recognize him from the description Osaki had given us. A neat-looking little gent with thick glasses, straw hat, bow tie, and a cane. He walks to the corner and climbs on a streetcar. I get on after him. The streetcar's loaded with kids. Toshimoto finds a seat near the front of the car, and I slip onto one across the aisle and a few seats down. Next to me sits a plump little character with a big grin.
Also, you American.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
You fan.
What?
You fan.
Fan?
Oh, yes. There is track three out.
A baseball fan. Yeah,
oh,
sure.
Yes. You go to ball game?
No. Hey, wait. Is that where all these kids are heading?
Oh, yes. To ballpark. Most regret. I cannot do same.
Got to work?
No, got wife.
Oh.
Please tell me answer to big question in my life. Has bothered me for a long time.
Look, I'm no marriage counselor.
Oh, no. Question is... is Mickey Mantle red-hot rookie, like they say?
The little gent talks on, reciting batting averages, but I'm not paying much attention to him. My eyes are on the back of Toshimoto's neck, and I'm just hoping he's going to headquarters to pick up a load of explosives so we can find out where it is and round up the whole outfit before Mr. Big arrives in this neck of the woods.
Hello?
the little baseball fan gets off, and then I stiffen as the car starts up again. Tashimoto stands up, turns around, walks in my direction. He stops beside my seat, gives me a deep bow and a polite smile.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mitchell.
Well,
please, may I sit beside you? Thank you so much. I, as you know, am Tashimoto.
Hey, wait a minute. How'd you know my name?
Oh, I have been expecting you, Mr. Mitchell.
Expecting me? I don't get it.
No? It is very simple. Osaki...
Wait a minute. Osaki was just giving us a routine, and we fell for it right into the trap.
He no doubt convinced you he had lost his nerve. Actually, he is of highest courage and self-sacrifice. He has yielded to me, the reader, the final glory.
What are you talking about?
You no doubt believe that I was on my way to pick up some explosives.
Yeah.
Actually, they are already on my person.
Huh? Wait a
minute. Oh, no. Please, to sit very still. Observe my hands. One of them holds a cane, but the other is resting on this little watch chain across my vest.
That's the trigger?
That is the trigger. One slight pull on this watch chain.
And we both go up in smoke.
And pity of it would be all happy children here in the streetcar.
Children? Hey, look, Tashimoto.
And that, of course, is precisely why I selected the streetcar. Mr. Mitchell, it is not a very warm day, yet you perspire freely.
Okay, let's quit playing cat and mouse. What happens now?
First, I tell you what happens if you do not do exactly as I say. I pull on the watch chain. The streetcar and everyone in it is blown up.
Okay, I believe you, so you're calling the shots.
And as saying goes, I have you completely in my power, no?
Oh, get to the point, Tashimoto. What do you want me to do?
Very simple, Mr. Mitchell. I want you to take me to meet a friend of yours.
Friend of mine? Who do you mean?
I believe you call him Mr. Big.
And now, back to Dangerous Assignment and Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
I stare at Tashimoto. I don't think he's kidding. That's why I'm sweating. He just sits there with his cane in one hand and the watch chain in the other, giving me that polite smile.
Mr. Mitchell, you look slightly pale. I'm so sorry to cause you discomfort.
Yeah, I'll bet. Look, Tashimoto, you can't get away with this.
Oh, but you misunderstand, Mr. Mitchell. I am not trying to get away with anything.
What do you mean?
I merely wish to be brought face to face with your Mr. Big. Then, side pull and watch chain, and my mission accomplished. Glory is mine.
Of all the weird...
Please, Mr. Mitchell, let us keep our voices at polite level. Our conversation might prove very puzzling to some.
Look, if you think I'm going to go along with your insane...
I regret deeply to realize I have failed to convince you of my sincerity. Very well. I must admit failure and bring this to completion. I regret children's loss of life, but not my own. I deserve it. So, little pull on watch chain and...
Wait, hold it.
Oh, so?
You really aren't kidding, are you?
You have reconsidered.
Yeah, I've reconsidered. Yeah, he sold me. Six others have blown themselves to bits. I stall for time while I figure out some way to jump Tashimoto without setting off the bomb. But whatever I do, I've got to do it before we get to Mr. Big. At the next stop, Tashimoto ushers me off and into a crowded cafe where he orders tea for both of us.
I thought a cup of tea might restore your spirit somewhat, Mr. Mitchell.
Thanks.
In any event, we have certain amount of time to kill, if I may be excused for our expression.
Time?
Yes. Your Mr. Big should be landing at airport within next 5 minutes. From there, he will be driven to certain building where he will be briefed upon latest developments in situation. After that, he will be taken to depot. He will board a special train and...
You've managed to scrape together a fair amount of information.
Thank you. Since of our small organization, I alone remain, it is necessary that every step of our final mission be carefully planned out. We will intercept Mr. Big at the building here in Tokyo before he goes to the depot.
Any idea how we're going to get into that building? It'll probably be swarming with guards.
But, Mr. Mitchell, you have credentials. It is undoubtedly known to those in charge that you are connected with what is known as the Mr. Big operation. I am certain they will admit you. And, of course, I will accompany you.
You make it sound real easy.
It will be. But easy or difficult, it is no matter.
Mitchell!
Hey.
Yes, your friend from Army Intelligence.
He's coming this way.
So he is. I trust that your face will betray nothing and that you will get rid of him quickly.
Oh.
Imagination is a wonderful thing. Please to use it. And remember, this is a very crowded cafe, many people.
You sure pick the places.
I have judged you to be humanitarian.
I've been looking all over town for you, Steve.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you were with somebody.
Huh? Oh, I'm not.
What? Well,
this was the only vacant seat I could find when I came in.
Oh, I see. Well, what kind of luck do you have?
You mean locating our friend?
Yeah.
None. I lost him in the crowds.
Oh?
Look, Ferguson, sooner or later, he'll probably go back home. Why don't you go over there and wait for him?
You mean take over?
Yeah, he may have spotted me. Besides, I'm beat.
Well, I'll okay, Steve. See you later.
Extremely well done, Mr. Mitchell. You are an accomplished actor.
Oh, save the Oscar.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, skip it. What happens now?
It is an 8-block walk to the building where Mr. Big will be temporarily quartered. Come. We should arrive just in time.
We start a leisurely walk along the crowded street. Tashimoto just loves crowds. I'm wondering if Ferguson realized there was anything wrong. If so, he sure didn't tip it. Probably he didn't. I study Tashimoto, trying to find a weak spot, some way of catching him with his guard down, and then an idea hits me. He's got his right hand on the watch chain. The left hand's holding his cane. If I were to offer him something suddenly, he couldn't very well reach for it with a hand holding the cane. He might take his hand off the watch chain for a second before he realized it's worth a try.
What is matter, Mitchell? Why do you stop suddenly?
I just happened to think. Do you like American cigarettes, Tashimoto?
Certainly.
Here, have some.
What? Why, certainly. One moment, please. This cane, I will hang it over my right wrist. So now, cigarette, please.
Oh, here, take the pack.
Thank you. Shall we proceed? I must give you credit for a good try, Mr. Mitchell.
Thanks.
Indeed, I find you most worthy opponent.
I should be flattered, but a compliment doesn't mean much when it comes from a guy with a worm in his brain.
Mr. Mitchell, you have a most sharp tongue.
What's the matter, Tashimoto? It sort of bother you that I think you're nuts?
Your opinion, inaccurate as it is, does not matter. There is a mission to be performed. Otherwise, I assure you, it will give me great pleasure to... I see now. You want me to lose my temper, lose control, and you almost succeed. But unfortunately, almost is not quite good enough. Huh? So, there is building.
Okay, what now? Don't tell me we just barge in the front door.
Exactly. You will show your credentials to the guard and... Wait, come quickly. So... A black sedan slipping down the alley from side entrance. The merest glimpse of face. Mr. Big.
Are you kidding? If they were taking Mr. Big anywhere in a car, they'd have guards swarming all over the place.
Mr. Mitchell, I believe you are the one who, as you say, is kidding. One car alone attracts much less attention. And there were guards in car. So they are undoubtedly proceeding to depot, but ahead of schedule.
Maybe your information was wrong.
Or perhaps they moved the time up for security reason. No matter, however. They undoubtedly take roundabout route to depot to throw possible pursuers off trail. Come, we will beat them there in taxicab. So, we wait here, Mr. Mitchell. From this point, we can observe all trains in the station.
Look, Tashimoto...
You are getting restless. Please remember how crowded this depot is. How many people you would kill if you forced me to pull this watch chain. They are here. Come. Yes, yes. The party swiftly climbs aboard the red car. We will follow.
You got any ideas about how we get aboard?
You persist in being too modest, Mr. Mitchell. I'm quite certain you are known to Mr. Big's party. Upon proper presentation of credentials, we will...
The guard standing in front of the platform.
Very well. You know what to do.
That's close enough.
We'd like to get aboard this car.
Guess again. Nobody gets aboard this car.
Your credentials.
I'm Steve Mitchell. Here are my credentials.
Yeah. They're real pretty. But nobody gets aboard.
Well, okay, if you say so.
We must see Mr. Big.
Who?
Mr. Big.
Never heard of him. Talk to me. I'm Mr. Little.
The train pulling out.
Sure is, Tajimoto.
Come.
What?
Hurry, run.
Where to?
We get aboard one of our cars.
Now look.
Quick. No argument. Run.
We jump aboard the train about three cars away from Mr. Big's private car. Tashimoto has me write a note asking permission to talk to Mr. Big. He makes me enclose my credentials. Then he has the conductor deliver it to Mr. Big's car.
So, we not have much longer to wait, Mr. Mitchell. Conductor, be back any moment.
Look, Tashimoto, that gag's not gonna work. If they wouldn't let us aboard the car in the first place, they sure won't let us walk in now.
Here is answer to your message.
Thank you, conductor.
Very well.
So, let us read. Ah, permission granted.
What? Let me see that.
But of course, read for yourself.
Permission granted. Proceed to my car and show this to the guard.
So, Mr. Mitchell, our long journey is almost at end. Shall we proceed?
We start heading for Mr. Big's car, and I know it's now or never. We get to the platform between our car and the next. Over the top of the half door, I can see we're crossing a river on a trestle. If only I could get Tashimoto's hand away from that watch chain for a second. Then it hits me. A way to keep him from moving his hand. I stop suddenly. He stops and turns toward me. Then I grab him in a big bear hook.
Let go of me!
You can't pull that trigger now.
You cannot hold me this way forever.
It's so right. I'm slipping little by little. I know as soon as he can get a hand free, just an inch, it's curtains. I start forking him toward the half door. I bend him over it. Then I give a big shove and we both fly out. Oh, Lord. Almost tears him loose from me, but I hang on and we both sink. I squeeze him harder, and the bubble spanning my cheek tells me that I'm squeezing the air right out of him. I keep the pressure on and wait. My head starts to pound, my chest hurts, and then finally he goes limp. I haul him to the surface and tow him to the bank, and then I see the train has stopped on the trestle, and there's a guy running down the bank toward me.
Mitchell! Mitchell!
Huh? Oh, Major Ferguson.
You okay?
Well, I'm alive, which is more than I thought I'd be a minute ago.
I spotted Tashimoto with you in the tea room.
What?
Yeah, I recognized him from the description that Osaki had given. There's nothing I could do about it. I figured he was carrying a load of dynamite.
He sure was.
Well, we had a sharpshooter covering him with a rifle when you started walking down the sidewalk. We decided it was too risky for a shot, so we moved up the departure schedule for Mr. Big. And when we got your note on the train, why, we knew you were still with us.
Oh, why did you send us permission?
Well, I was hiding in the car next to you. When you got that far, I was going to jump him. That cane he was carrying, that was the trigger, wasn't it?
The cane? No, it was the watch chain.
Oh, great. Great, I was going to grab the cane.
Oh,
it's a good thing you took care of him before you opened the door to the next car.
Oh, brother. Look, do me a favor, will you?
Oh, sure.
Get me something to wear quick.
Oh, sure. Some dry clothes.
No.
Huh? What do you mean?
A nice, comfortable, straight jacket.
Assignment starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell with Herb Butterfield as the commissioner is written by Bob Reif and Adrian Jondo with music by Robert Armbruster and is produced and directed by Bill Karn. Be with us again next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another dangerous assignment.
Enjoy the very best in radio. Be sure that you dial it right.
I'm sorry that that cut out right there. That was kind of a bouncy little jingle, and maybe we can hear it sometime in the future when we find a good clean copy of it. Well, now it's time for our comedy. Here is Bright Star.
The Irene Dunne, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunne as Susan and Fred McMurray as George. Together in a gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star. Yes, it's the Irene Dunne, Fred McMurray Show, starring Irene Dunne as Susan Armstrong, owner and editor of the Hillsdale Morning Star, and Fred McMurray as George Harvey, the paper's star reporter. And as we join our two stars, it looks as though George is all set for a quiet, stay-at-home evening at Susan's home. Quiet evening? Well, you never can tell.
When they begin, they begin. Hi, Patience. Miss Armstrong home? Silly question, isn't it? Of course she is. We have a date.
Come in, Mr. Harvey. Miss Susan is in the living room.
Alone and waiting patiently, I take it. Playing the piano.
Mr. Harvey, I...
Hmm?
No, I just can't ruin that big, happy smile.
Peculiar, but no more than usual. Well... When they begin...
On the road to Mandalay.
What is that?
Well, speaking of fishes, Susan, look what just swam in. Oh, hiya, Georgie, old buddy, old buddy.
George, you know Elwood Bray. George, Elwood.
I know Elwood, Susan. Not proud, not happy, but I know him.
Ah, just warming up the old tonsils when you came in, Georgie. But sit right down. We don't mind, do we, Susan?
Elwood and I were just talking over old times, George.
You know Susie and I went together for a long time, Georgie?
No. I haven't the slightest interest in the matter, Elwood.
All right, I'll tell you all about it. Oh, I got a bad time, Susan.
I should never go out without a gun.
Childhood sweethearts, Susan and I. Childhood sweethearts. Right, Susan?
Well...
And even though every so often someone else comes along, I always come back to my Susan.
Oh, that's big of you, Elwood. Now, if you don't mind,
Oh, the times we've had. I feel for you, Georgie boy.
I shouldn't ask this, but why?
Why, the miserable life you must have had before you came to Hillsdale.
Oh, I don't know.
George was a very successful reporter in New York before he came here, Elwood.
That's right.
Sure.
Elwood, for your information, I led a very full and satisfying social life in New York.
Poor, lonely fellow.
Now, Elwood, George, stop it.
It may just interest you to know, Elwood, that I was fortunate enough to be on intimate terms with some very famous people.
Oh, in with the society and theatrical set, I imagine.
As a matter of fact, I was.
Oh, sure.
Well, I'm sure we can take George's word for it, Elwood.
Naturally, naturally. He knew every actress in New York.
Just about?
I saw a very attractive girl in the paper today. Ah, here she is. Sunny Knight. You knew her, of course, George.
Sunny Knight?
Yeah.
Now, really, this whole discussion is entirely pointless.
Oh, Sunny Knight, of course. We're old friends.
You're sure, Georgie?
Of course I'm sure. Good old Sunny. Almost wish I were in New York so I could look her up again.
You won't have to go to New York, Georgie.
I won't?
Uh-uh, no. Sunny is opening right here in town with a review tomorrow.
She is?
Well, what's the matter, George?
Nothing. Not a thing. Good old Sonny.
Well, we'll have to make up a big party so George can introduce us to his friend, Susan. How about tomorrow night, George?
Fine. Dandy. I don't think I can make it.
But won't your friend be expecting you, George?
Well, if you're going to start taking sides with Elwood, Susan...
Taking sides about what?
You know what. And furthermore... Susan, either Elwood Bray goes or I go.
George, I just can't ask Elwood to go.
All right. You've made your choice. Good night.
George!
Well, I guess I showed them. Wonder if they'll miss me.
time did Elwood check out last night, Miss Susan?
About 12 patients. Oh, dear, I guess I'll have to apologize to George this morning.
Yeah, why?
Why? Because of the way Elwood ruined our date. And then he needled poor George into bragging about knowing a girl he obviously didn't know at all.
Oh, why don't you let George simmer a while?
You really think I should?
I think George needs a little competition. After all, that's the backbone of our economy.
Well, George has been getting into sort of a rut lately.
A rut? He's practically out of sight.
You might be right, Patience.
It's bad enough when they act like that after they're married. Then there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I'll see what I can do about shaking him up.
Good.
Oh, but I hate to do it. Our relationship's been so happy lately.
Miss Susan, as long as he's happy, nothing is going to happen. Nothing.
That sure is a sad story about Elwood Ray, Mr. Harvey.
It was a harrowing experience, Sammy.
What are you going to do about Sunny Night?
Nothing, Sammy. Nothing at all. Oh, good morning, Susan.
Oh, good morning, George. Sammy.
Hi, Miss Armstrong.
Oh, about last night, George.
Yes?
Elwood was terribly sorry you couldn't stay. We had such a good time later on.
As well.
Elwood was so amusing.
What did he do? Fall down the stairs?
Oh, George. And he reserved a table at the Ming Room for tonight. That's where your Miss Knight's Review is playing, isn't it?
Well...
But Elwood just insisted on making a party of it.
Big-hearted Elwood.
Then you'll join us there, George, huh? Oh, wonderful.
Well,
on the road to Mandalay.
Things don't look so good, Mr. Harvey.
They look swell, Sammy. After all, there's always the river.
Well, maybe I can help out. I'm seeing the manager of Miss Knight's Review today.
You?
Sure. I heard from their publicity man the show's looking for outstanding local talent prior to an extended Broadway run.
So?
Mr. Harvey, my trumpet. I've been taking lessons for over 6 weeks. Maybe I can fix you up with Miss Knight.
Thank you, Elsa Maxwell.
Well, I'll let you know. And in the meantime, don't do anything desperate.
You really care, Sammy?
Well, sure. Besides, you owe me $5 till payday.
All right, Sonny. Sit down and rest.
You don't like my new routine, Maxwell?
Sonny, how much can you do with a tap dance?
A fine time to tell me after I based my career on it.
Yeah.
I could have gone in for opera, you know, or playing the harp. Or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Max, is the show still broke?
We don't make enough out of this booking for bus fare to Nowhereville.
Couldn't we promote some fresh money so we could dress up the acts and...
Honey, the day of the great American sucker is past. Somebody got to him first and cleaned him. The collector of internal revenue. Come in.
Excuse me, but is this where you're trying out new acts for Broadway?
Sorry, no midgets today. Maybe tomorrow.
I'm not a midget. I play the trumpet.
Well, you should have been a midget. It's quieter.
Oh, let's listen to him, Max. I think he's cute.
Thanks. I think you're cute, too.
Hey, kid, before this breaks out in a flame, maybe you better play trumpet, huh?
Sure. I brought it with me.
Oh? I thought it was a gun.
The Flight of the Bumblebee.
Great, but... Cut!
6 weeks ago, I couldn't play a note.
Oh, you must have been a very nice kid. Listen, Honeybee.
Yes?
You wouldn't happen to know anybody in this town with any loose, quick cash, would you?
Well, I know Mr. George Harvey. He's an old friend of Miss Knight's from New York.
Loaded?
I don't remember any George Harvey, Max.
Honey, you can remember him if he's loaded, can't you?
He's going to be at your opening tonight. Hey, if you want me to, I'll come and stand by his table so you'll know him.
Kid, there is more to you than meets the eye. Talent.
Max, I tell you, I don't remember any George Harvey.
Sonny, if he remembers you, the least you can do is remember him.
But
George Harvey. L-O-D-E-D. Loaded. Now do you remember?
Oh, George Harvey. Oh, sure. You know, he sounds like a very nice fella.
Thank you.
You're all set, Mr. Harvey. When I walk in and stand by your table, Miss Knight will come over and remember you.
Sammy, you show flashes of genius.
Sure.
What a blow to Elwood Bray. How'd you do it, Sammy?
In some way, they got the impression you had money, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, well, that was not strictly honest, Sammy.
I didn't say so directly.
Well, just the same, Sammy, this will weigh on your conscience. Unless...
Unless what, Mr. Harvey?
I am going to make an honest man out of you. Sammy, lend me another five till payday.
Good evening, George.
Oh, Susan. Where's Elwood?
Oh, well, at the last minute, he had to work late at the plant.
Oh.
May I sit down?
Oh, yeah, yes, of course.
Thank you.
Well, no Elwood, huh?
No Elwood. Are you sorry?
No. Susan.
Yes?
Elwood doesn't really mean anything to you, does he?
Not really, George. And as long as this is confession time, how about you and Sunny Knight?
Sunny Knight? You want to know something, Susan? I don't even know her.
You want to know something? I really didn't think you did.
You didn't think I could go for her type, did you?
Oh, George. I hope we're being absolutely honest with each other.
Absolutely.
All right, George. I believe you.
Good.
Hi, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, hello, Sammy.
Why, Sammy, what are you doing here?
Oh, just wandering by. You know how it is, huh, Mr. Harvey?
Yes, Sammy, Ixnay, Amscray, Edith Bay.
Don't worry, Mr. Harvey. As soon as Miss Knight sees me, I'll leave.
Sammy, you don't understand. Get lost. Things have changed. Fall down.
Everything's okay, Mr. Harvey. She saw me.
George, what are you two muttering about?
It really doesn't matter.
Well, isn't it a small world?
Caught
George Harvey.
Rat in a trap.
Oh, I just hope your lady friend is broad-minded, George, because I just can't help myself. Pucker off.
Oh, now, wait, please, Miss Knight. Please.
Look at this, Max. Of all people, George Garvey.
Harvey, like the rabbit.
Susan, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about this. It's all very simple.
I can see that, George.
You remember Max, my manager, Georgie.
Hiya, no. Georgie boy. Been hearing great things about you. Great.
Well, that's swell. Susan, Miss Armstrong, Miss Knight. Miss Armstrong is a very close friend of mine.
Now, we just say an acquaintance, George.
But I...
Oh, he sure has a way with us poor girls, Miss Armstrong. Remember those moonlight nights at Coney Island, Georgie?
Coney Island?
Still the same shy old George, Sonny.
And our act. Did George ever tell you about our act, Miss Armstrong?
What act? We never worked on any act.
Oh, now, don't hold back your hidden talent on my account, George.
But I'm trying to...
Just mention my name in Sheboygan.
Sheboygan?
Hey, get the reading on that line, Sonny. Sheboygan. Dynamite.
Oh, a talent like his belongs to the world. Don't you agree, Miss Armstrong?
I certainly do. And as far as I'm concerned, the world can have it any time. Sammy, will you take me home?
Sure, Miss Armstrong.
But...
Don't worry, Mr. Harvey. I'll think of something.
Sammy, do me a favor. Get off my side.
Back to our two stars, Irene Dunn and Fred McMurray, and the second act of our story. As usual, Fred, that is George, has managed to get himself in much trouble with Irene, Susan. And as usual, things are getting no better fast.
Hi, Mr. Harvey.
My friend, Sammy.
Well, what's the matter? Didn't I fix you up with Sunny Knight?
Just tell me one thing, Sammy. Did you or did you not explain to Miss Armstrong last night the truth about this whole affair? Answer yes or no.
No.
Swell.
Well, I would have, Mr. Harvey, but she said she wasn't interested and would prefer some other topic of conversation.
No. So what did you talk about?
Stamp collecting.
That must have been brilliant.
Well, it wasn't easy. Neither one of us collects stamps.
Now listen, Sammy. When Miss Armstrong comes in this morning, you explain to her how this all came about, you hear?
You mean I should tell her the truth?
Exactly, Sammy. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's always the best policy.
Gee, this is a whole new approach.
Here she comes now, Sammy.
Well, good morning, Sammy.
Hi, Miss Armstrong.
Good morning, George.
Susan, Sammy has something to say to you.
Yes?
Miss Armstrong, speaking on behalf of Mr. Harvey. I just want
to
say...
Listen, Sammy, nothing you have to say on behalf of Mr. Harvey would be of the slightest interest to me.
Well, sure, Miss Armstrong, but you see, I was the one who arranged with Sunny Knight...
And furthermore, Sammy, you must convey to Mr. Harvey my low opinion of him for trying to involve you in his intrigues with chorus girls.
You want to answer that, Mr. Harvey, or should I?
First of all, Susan, I am not intriguing with anyone.
That's right, Miss Armstrong. Mr. Harvey was just an innocent dupe.
Sammy, no coaching.
And will you tell Mr. Harvey, Sammy, that he is at perfect liberty to carry on with whatever type he chooses at any time at all?
Carry on? Just how do you describe your conduct with Elwood Bray, Miss Armstrong?
Elwood Bray may not have your talent, George, or wide circle of friends, but he is at least truthful and reliable.
And boring.
Good point, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, really, George, I see no point in prolonging this.
And I suppose you intend to go on seeing old school chum Elwood?
It's quite possible. I suppose you'll be working on your act with Miss Knight.
It's quite possible. In fact, I might even go to New York with the show. If you could spare me from the paper, that is.
Oh, well, that won't be easy, George.
Well, in that case...
But naturally, I can't stand in your way. Talent such as yours belongs to the world. Let me know when you're leaving.
Susan, what do I do now, Sammy?
Easy. Just go to Miss Knight and convince her you're not rich. That way you won't have to go to New York.
Oh. Sammy, you know that sounds almost sensible. Why didn't I think of that?
Well, there's an answer, Mr. Harvey. But I'm your friend.
Sometimes, Sammy, I wonder.
Well, Mr. Garvey, come in.
It's Harvey.
Oh.
Sonny, Miss Knight.
Sonny.
Sonny, I have something to say to you, you and Max.
Oh, well, Max isn't here. Did you come to work in our act, George?
Well, not exactly. You see, I'm afraid you have a false impression about me.
I do?
I'm afraid so. And when you know the truth, you'll have a different feeling toward me altogether.
You're married.
Married? Well, no, but that isn't the big thing. It's...
By the fellas, maybe, but by the girls, there's nothing bigger. George.
Yes?
I'm a girl.
Well, I noticed that, but...
What? I thought we covered everything.
Well, the fact is, Sonny, I'm afraid you have the impression that I have money.
You don't?
No. That does make a difference, doesn't it?
No.
You see? Now, the way this thing came about... You said no?
Look, George, all my life I wanted to like somebody for himself. Somebody honest.
But... Now, wait.
You're honest, George. Why, once I went with a fella for 5 years before I found out he was flat broke and married besides.
Well, swell, but...
And you wanted to tell me everything before we teamed up. Oh, I appreciate that, George.
But I'm afraid that I...
Oh, let Max find somebody else with money.
But I haven't got talent either.
George, are you kidding?
This is the last time I take any advice from Sammy. Good evening, Patience.
Well, Mr. Harvey, quite a stranger. Come in.
Well, you know how it is, Patience. Show business. Is Miss Armstrong in?
Well...
Out with Elwood Bray. Well, it's no more than I deserve. I just dropped in to say goodbye.
Oh, you going somewhere, Mr. Harvey?
Sonny and I are doing our act tomorrow at the club, and after that I'll be leaving town.
Well, I just hope you get away in time... Oh, my goodness, you mean you're traveling with the show?
Show business. A lonely life, Patience.
Mr. Harvey, does the manager of your show know about Elwood Bray?
What about Elwood?
Well, he sings, after a fashion, and his father owns a factory. I don't think it'd be too hard to get him on the program tomorrow night.
Uh-huh. You mean I could show him up?
Sure. Show him up in front of Miss Armstrong. And then, when she begs you to stay in Hillsdale, you can graciously give in.
Say, that might work at that. Patience, you may have saved my life.
It's a big responsibility, but I'll accept it. Good night, Mr. Harvey.
Good night, Patience. And thanks.
Has he gone, Patience?
Sure, Miss Susan, and he took our advice.
Good.
Miss Susan, why do things between you two have to be so complicated?
Why? Well, it's just that George is... just
George, that's all.
Now that I think it over, I see your point.
Quit hamming it up.
And Mr. George Hart. proving once again that talent... talent is where you find it. And now... the dramatic voice of Elwood Bray.
The dramatic voice of Elwood Bray. How corny can you get?
Be quiet, George. Elwood might be quite good. People always said he missed his calling.
Yeah, he should have been a hog caller.
Shh, now, he's ready to sing.
You've got your opinion, and I've got mine.
From your back to Mandalay.
Oh, brother, why doesn't he just beat it to death with a stick?
George, keep still.
Shh.
George.
Sorry, Elwood. Some coward was trying to escape.
That was nice, Elwood. You were very well received.
Well, thank you, Susan.
Well received. It was received like the bubonic plague.
Oh, I don't know. I thought I held the audience very well.
You didn't hold them, you stunned them. Them as died fast were the lucky ones.
Well, of course, you'll do much better, Georgie boy.
Will I? Where's Sonny? It must be time for us to go on.
Oh, George, buddy, Max induced me to put a little money into this review. I'm now one of the owners.
Well, congratulations, Ziegfeld. But if you don't mind my looking for my partner...
George, sit down, George. It's better for you to hear this sitting down.
Hear what?
Well, as one of the new owners, I gave Sonny the evening off. We figured you could go on alone, George.
You what? But I can't do the number alone. You know that, Elwood.
Oh, sure you can. You're loaded with talent, George, kid. And if you get lonely out there, I'll drop a tray.
Elwood, you're a very mean young man.
And now that other bundle of homegrown talent, Hillsdale's own George Harvey.
I can't go on.
Hillsdale's own George Harvey.
Go get him, George.
Susan, help me.
Why, George, you mean you want me to take the place of the glamorous Sunny Knight?
Susan, if you'll help me out, I swear I'll never mention New York or Sunny Knight or my stage talent, anything.
Hillsdale's own George Harvey.
Susan.
All right, George, I just can't bear to see a grown man cry.
Look, if you don't know the words, just hum it or anything.
I know.
Just mention my name in Sheboygan.
It's the greatest little town in the world.
Hey, that's good. Just tell them all you're a good friend of mine.
And every door in town will have a big welcome sign.
Mention my name in Sheboygan. But if you ever get in a mess...
A mess?
Just mention my name.
He said mention his name.
But please don't tell him my address.
He hates policemen.
Please don't tell him my address.
A square from nowhere.
Please don't tell him my address.
Just mention my name in Azusa.
Azusa.
Away out where the oranges grow.
Tell everybody in Southern Cal that you're a friend of mine, a really great big pal.
Mention my name in Azusa, but if you ever get in a jam, just mention my name.
She said my hench in her name.
But please don't tell him where I am.
She goes for grapefruit.
Please don't tell him where I am.
She is in Miami.
Please don't tell him where I am.
Susan, you were wonderful.
Oh, thank you, George. Good as Sunny Knight.
Oh, you're better.
Well, Susan, with a little practice, you've got kind of a habit of hogging the mic, but with a little practice, you and I could go on the road and get some experience and then head for the big town and...
George!
Hmm? Oh, yes, well, I guess it's like they say.
Yes, there's no business like newspaper business.
Sure, that's right. You always know best, Susan.
Why, George, do you really mean that?
No, but right at the moment, what else can I say?
Oh.
Our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back in just a moment.
Susan?
Yes, George?
Are you sure Elwood isn't going to drop in tonight? I know it's just my imagination, but I keep hearing the road to Mandalay.
Well, I don't think he'll be here, George. But with Elwood, you never can tell.
If it wasn't for him, that whole mess would never have started.
Or for you.
I hold Elwood responsible. Isn't there some way you can keep him out of this house? Isn't there?
Well, I can't very well do that, George. After all, I'm single, Elwood's single, we're old friends.
I hate him.
Of course, if this house were our house...
Our house?
Yours and mine. Then you wouldn't have Elwood barging in on your date.
Susan, you mean... There must be some other way.
Well, anyway, I tried.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to join us then.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.